I do want to share a few things as we go, and time is flying here, but the Lord has just really been stirring within me for the last several months about this season, about this time, about what's going on right now, what the Holy Spirit is doing, what you can sense and feel that he is doing. And I want to actually, Lord willing, talk about the Holy Spirit for the next several weeks. We'll have some pauses in between with Steve Witt coming and other things going on. But I want to jump in some. I feel like I am a fire hose and not sure exactly what water to give away. But I pray, I've been asking the Holy Spirit to speak through me about himself. And so if you could not only listen, but just be open to what he is saying to you personally. Because everything that God does, there's a practical side of it to be applied, whether that's just receiving or it's doing something. But the Holy Spirit is, I would say, the most misunderstood, often dismissed person in or being in the universe. We often talk, and rightly so, about the Father and the Son, Jesus. But in church as a whole, across the world, talking about the Holy Spirit is in some places taboo, in other places scary, where he does not get, I would say, his due. He does not get talked about much, and I want to do that. In fact, take several weeks just talking about this aspect of God, this third person of the Trinity, the Godhead, who is amazing. Who is amazing. And it may sound like it's maybe no big deal to some to talk about or not talk about the Holy Spirit. But you know what? I'd say air is pretty important. Right? I mean, it's pretty important for all of us to be breathing. We might not talk about it a lot. But if it weren't here, none of us are alive. You stick your hand out the window when you're driving your car and you feel it every once in a while. Other than that, you just take it for granted that we have air. But the Holy Spirit is a little bit similar. He is everywhere. He is inside of us. He is the power of God that moves in the earth. And he's the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you and I. He does what we cannot do. In Acts 17:28, it says, "In him we live and we move and we have our being." In him we live and we move and we have our being. When he first came to the earth after Jesus rose from the dead, he came as a mighty rushing wind. In fact, wind is one of the descriptors of the Holy Spirit. And those who follow him are a bit like the wind. You don't know which way they're going or where they're coming from, what's happening next. See, everything that's just where you know exactly what's going to happen day after day after day, often that means we're probably not being led by the Spirit in some ways. If everything is so predictable, although predictability feels very safe, the Holy Spirit is safety, yet he's unpredictable and he moves through us. You know, in the very beginning, some of the very first words that we have in our Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Let me read this to you. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep." Before there was anything, any form to this planet, it says, "And the Spirit of God," that's the Holy Spirit, "was moving over the surface of the waters." He was there at the very beginning, moving over the surface of the waters before there was light created. He was there, moving. Nearly every time you find the Holy Spirit in the scriptures, he's moving. He's doing something. There is something that is about to happen or to take place, or something, a language that's going to come out of someone. He's the one who moves as we move. Have you ever been talking about someone and then that person suddenly shows up? That happened to me today as I walked in. I was going to say this. And then as I walked through those doors, David back there said, "What did you say, David? Did you hear us talking about you? There he is. Usually people say, speak of the devil, right? Meaning, we were just talking about you and you showed up. So funny, I have this in my notes and that happened to me as I walked in here today. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, when we focus on him, we begin to recognize his movement. We begin to recognize that he's here. We begin to recognize that he is around. And we could say, speak of the Lord when we see something happening, right? If you see something wonderful happening in someone, like the testimony that David just shared, speak of the Lord. He heard that prayer on the way while I was in my car listening to a song. He's here. He's moving. He's doing things, though he's invisible. And the more we talk about him, the more we will see his activity, the more we will see him move and doing things. And I know it goes against every bit of intellectual thinking and rationality. This invisible person of God. Yet, boy, is he important. Like air is important to the natural man. The Spirit of God is important to our spirit man. It's important to everything that's going on in the world. And I'm thankful there's no jealousy in the Godhead. Did you know that? You watch Jesus speaking of the Father and speaking of the Spirit. You see the Father elevating the Son. You see them both talking about the Spirit and elevating the Spirit. There's no competition or jealousy or envy within the Godhead. They're constantly preferring one another, like we're supposed to be doing. Preferring each other. Sharing about how great one another really are or is. I don't know the right tense there. You know, Matt, me, I'm three parts. Well, you're looking at one part. You're hearing another, though. As my mind, will, and emotions, the soulish part of me, and the spirit of Matt, I'm three parts. You've gotten to know me both through your eyes, seeing my flesh, and I've got to know you that way. But that's just your earth suit, your one part, your body. But your spirit lives forever with your soul, your personality. All that lives forever. And so you are temporarily your spirit soul man in your earth suit for a short amount of time. And when your earth suit goes away, your body cannot, or your spirit can't stay there any longer. Your spirit, your soul has to be then back with God. The only attachment to the earth is your earth suit. Once your earth suit goes away, then we're with the Lord, right? You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he had a multi-layered mission that he came to do. It wasn't just to give us salvation. No, that was, wow. Thank you, Lord, that you brought us salvation. But he had many, many different things to do. When John the Baptist saw him, he first announced, there, behold, is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was speaking of part of the purpose of Jesus right there. The one who would take away all the sin, all of my sin, all of your sin of the world. But then he also said, there's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. He spoke of another part of the purpose of Jesus was that he was the one who would be baptizing and immersing in the Holy Spirit. Part of the purpose of Jesus. There was John putting people underneath water like we were last week here. That's what he was doing. And he uses the same terminology, the same wording. Here's the one, Jesus, I'm baptizing water. He's going to baptize. He's going to immerse. He's going to put you underneath and be surrounded by the Holy Spirit that is in heaven right now. At that moment, the Holy Spirit was in heaven with the Father. John prophesies this purpose of Jesus. And the purposes of Jesus, though he said it is finished on the cross, it was finished, his work that he was to do, while he was on that side of the cross. But once he resurrected from the dead, he did a few other things, you remember. 500 people saw him as he spoke and he shared things. 500 people. As he walked through walls, as he ate food, as he communicated love and direction to people, as he breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he went back to heaven. He wasn't done with everything yet. His last mission, his last purpose in that time frame was to go back to heaven and to release the Holy Spirit to the earth. Amen. To baptize, to immerse all those who believe and follow and love him in the Spirit of God from heaven. To be put under by him, to be overwhelmed by the Spirit of God that would live on the inside of us. Last week when we did this, you noticed that every person that came up that got baptized, whether they were little or tall, they looked different when they came up. They were wet. Something happened in the baptism that changed them. They were glistening. That was a natural thing that happened, speaking of a spiritual thing, of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Something changes. You meet a person who has been filled with the Holy Spirit and they shine from the inside. They glisten. There's a confidence. It says this here in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, this was after the Holy Spirit came, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. They were amazed at the confidence, which is another indicator of someone who has been baptized or immersed in, filled with the Spirit from heaven. Because the Spirit of heaven is different than the Spirit here of the world. And when he comes in, there's a confidence. There's a boldness, there's a joy, there's a hope, there's a life, there's a shining, there's an outshining that comes through that person. And Jesus said this while before he died, he said this, it is to your advantage. This is a good thing for you. He was telling his disciples, I'm gonna die. They said, no. But he said, listen, this is a good thing. Here's why. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. The helper will not come to you. Jesus could only be, since he had that earth body, he was in one place at one time. He could only be with so many people at a time. But he said, if I go away, I will send him, the helper, the Holy Spirit, to you personally. And he will live inside of you. He will live inside of you. I don't think we realize, I often don't realize, the privilege that you and I get to be called sons and daughters of God, and the privilege of having the Spirit who was in heaven for thousands of years. At the resurrection and then the Pentecost, he came to live on the inside of me, on the inside of you. Amen. The home of the presence of God shifted when Jesus sent him here from his home being heaven to his home being your chest, your heart, the inside of you becoming the place where the Holy Spirit now lives. It's where he lives now. It's not me separate, having mental assent. No, yes, I believe in God. I read the Bible, I pray, but God is somewhere else. No, you have now become a home. A home for the Holy Spirit, a place where he lives. I know those. We hear those words so much, but the reality is that it is a privilege for God to live on the inside of you and I, to be a carrier of him. Everywhere you go, you're carrying heaven. You're carrying the Holy Spirit. I carry the Holy Spirit. And man, I'm telling you what, the enemy does not want you talking about that. The enemy does not want you thinking about that and recognizing the reality that you're carrying God with you. Amen. He wants your mind to be so worldly bound and your body involved with immorality so that the Holy Spirit does not have power through you. That's what the enemy wants. What the Holy Spirit wants is your mind set on him, on the person of Jesus, our eyes filled with light, our body, as Paul says, not involved with immorality, becoming one spirit with another person that's not your spouse, so that his Spirit can feel comfortable in this home and move through you. You ever been inside of a home that was not comfortable to be in? I went into a home once. I won't give all the full description. Wow. It wasn't here. It was in another state. I was invited as a guest speaker, and man, it was one of the craziest experiences I've ever had. And I couldn't wait to leave. Could not wait to get out of there. The creeps, the creepy feelings, the weird things that went on there. How must the Holy Spirit feel inside of us? How does he feel? Hopefully he feels welcome. Hopefully he feels, wow, this is a great place to be. They're a person who is devoted to the Lord. Their bodies are my house. I live in them and I can use them, speak through them, do my wonders through them, fill them with peace, fill them with joy. He's not a scary person. He is awesome, so there's an awe side of it, of who he is, but he's not scary. He's not weird. The world is weird. Turn on your television. You look at some of the, well, that's a detour. The Holy Spirit is the helper. He's the comforter. He's the truth, the Spirit of truth. He's the one who shows you you're on the wrong path. He's the convictor of sin. We don't know that we're sinning unless the Holy Spirit, and through the law as well, but the Holy Spirit convicts you and says, you're on the wrong path. Whew, thank you, I've got the GPS on the inside. I've got the one that says, when I'm going the wrong way, the Holy Spirit is the one that does all of these things on the inside. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In other words, you and I aren't just supposed to be talking to Jesus and the Father. There's a fellowship, there's a relationship with the Spirit of God that is important for you and I. And I'm gonna tell you one of my secrets. It's in the Bible, so it's not like it's a secret just for me. I talk to the Holy Spirit nearly every time before I get on a stage or I speak somewhere or I have to do something. I take a few minutes and I lock myself away with the Holy Spirit and I say, fill me all over again. Fill me with yourself. Fill me with your thoughts, with your mindset, with your ideas. Fill me with your confidence. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with yourself so that as I speak, you do things that I can't do. That you go beyond my words, you go beyond what is felt in the atmosphere and that you do things. He is a secret that's made known to every single believer. He wants to be made known so that we receive him. Can you imagine the lie, the enemy's lie, that believers cannot be baptized in the Holy Spirit any longer? That was for the first century Christians. All that's been done away with. All of the things that he does is done away with. So now you've just got your Bible and your brain. Man, I'm telling you what, that lie makes me angry. That makes me absolutely angry. It is a ripoff of what everything was being pointed toward. Joel prophesied in the last days. The Spirit of God in the last days, not just the day when Jesus was here. In the last days, my Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. Amen. You start having dreams. You can start having visions. This prophecy, Peter said this on the day of Pentecost. He stood up and said, this is for you and your children and your children's children, as far off as those who believe. He is for every single person. And I break the power of the lie that he's not for today in Jesus' name so that we can receive him fully, engage in fellowship with him, and get to know him and listen and be filled and have confidence. Man, we need confidence for these days. Lies abound. We need confidence in who we are, in our identity as a son or a daughter of God. Confidence when we pray, that I'm praying not because I've been a good person this week, that I'm releasing heaven because heaven lives inside of me. Amen. I'm giving away what's been given to me. I've not earned this. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of the living God. You know, when Jesus went across the lake, remember that with his disciples? They met a man filled with a legion of demons. He asked them, what's your name? They said, Legion, for we are many. Thousands of evil spirits living in one man. And bringing torment to that person. That's how the spirit of evil works. That's how the devil's army works. Is they torment a person, though many of them can live on the inside. The spirit of God is the exact opposite. One Holy Spirit living in many people. And when he comes, there's no torment. There's truth, life. We're set free. Confidence arises. We have hope. We're comforted. And we have power to be witnesses. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the person we need on the inside. He's the one that fills all in all. John 14, Jesus said this, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. He's gonna be with you forever. Day and night, night and day, as long as you live, after you live here, he's with you forever. And that is the spirit of truth. He's the spirit of truth. And the world cannot receive him. It's impossible for someone in the world who has not been regenerated by the Spirit to have the Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive him. But here's what that means also. Those who believe in him can. We have the privilege. We have the privilege to receive the Spirit who resided in heaven and now wants to reside in me. But you know him because he abides with you and will be, of course, he hadn't been sent yet, will be in you. Now he has. It's interesting, too, that in the evil world, in the demonic, the demons are always looking for a host to live in. They are tormented if they don't have a host. In fact, we see that in the same scripture in Luke 8. With the demoniac and the one who says legion. The legion then cries out and says, don't send us to the abyss. Don't torment us before the time. Send us into pigs. There's some swine over there. Can we go live inside of those guys for a while? And it wasn't very long, but yes. Jesus allowed them. They went into pigs. The pigs went crazy and drowned. Then they had to find some other host because spirits to be on the earth have to be attached to an individual, a living person or an animal in this case. For demons, the Spirit of God is also looking for a host. Jesus had a body. The Father is in heaven. The Holy Spirit sent to heaven, and he couldn't come until there were hosts that were blood-bought cleansed that he could live within. But here we are. We're the host of him. We're the host of the Holy Spirit. One spirit filling all of the body of Jesus Christ so that he can help us do the things that we're supposed to do. Some an arm, some a finger, some an elbow, some a knee. Doing the work of him on the earth as the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit living on the inside. We're his host. Says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now God has not only raised the Lord Jesus, but will also raise us up through his power. There's a promise to underline. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. He's quoting way back there. Verse 17, but the one who joins himself, this is an amazing statement. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Amen. What? I'm telling you, we don't know the privilege that we have. The one who joins himself, you can join yourself physically to something unholy, or you can join your spirit spiritually to the Holy Spirit and you become one with him. What? I don't even understand that. But that's what it says. Then it says, flee immorality. Every other sin a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple? I've been calling it a house. Here it says, a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. We were singing about that today. You're not your own. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Okay. Let me share one last thing, and I'll be done. Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 7 says, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. The disciples were asking him, and they were thinking and wondering, okay, is it now? Is it now that you take over Israel, you become the king, and we get to rule with you? Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. In fact, you remember Jesus said, I don't even know when I'll be returning. The Father knows. So Jesus isn't bothering himself with being concerned about a certain time, a date, an epoch. He says, let's trust the Father with that. Let's trust the Father with the times of your life, with what's going to happen in the future. But, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. In other words, don't focus on the times of when something is going to happen. Focus on the Holy Spirit who fills you with power to be a witness in your time. He wants you witnessing, sharing, giving away, releasing, praying for, having confidence in him, trusting him, living a life full of faith and hope and joy and peace. And let him take care of the times as we move about doing his works, taking action. Okay, my goal today was to stir up and to invite him. Why don't we, if you would do this, I know we're going long. If you can bear with me just one more minute. Here's something I do often as well. My old friend, my mentor of mine said, Matt, he saw me one day when I came into his apartment. He said, well, you're low on the Holy Spirit today. Man, that sounded so weird. I've never heard that terminology, never heard anybody, and I still haven't since then. He said, you're low on the Holy Spirit, kind of like he was looking at the gas gauge of my soul, and it was down toward E. He said, you know how to get refilled, don't you? I've never heard of that either. No, I was baptized once, never thought about refilling. But yet, I fill my car at least once a week, right? We're a vehicle who needs, not that he goes away all the way, but we can be refilled. You see that in the scriptures. After Pentecost, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, mighty rushing wind, you find two chapters later, and says, the Holy Spirit came and they were refilled. What? We need him often. We need filled up often. And so I often do that. I will just take moments and say, you're not just like I need air from my lungs. I need the Spirit of God in my spirit. And so I receive. I can't earn this. I just receive you by faith in my spirit. Would you do that with me for a moment? Let's just receive him. You just close your eyes. No one's watching. Feel free to tilt your head back if you want to or whatever you want. But just by faith, breathe in, receive the Spirit of the living God that came from heaven. Even if you were baptized, immersed in him previously, receive him all over again. To every part of your house, every room, the kitchen, the guest bedroom, the laundry room, the bathrooms of your being, receive him. Come on in, Holy Spirit. All the more, refill, rebaptize, reignite, as David was sharing earlier. His passion was reignited for you. Do that for us. Stir up a hunger for you, Holy Spirit, on the inside. And may we see the privilege of carrying you, the privilege of walking in you, the privilege of knowing you, the privilege of you living inside of us. Awaken us to this. That we would see ourselves as not our own, but purchased to carry the presence of God, the person of God. In Jesus' name. And I'd like to You know, you probably see these communion set around this building as we end and we go away from here. A friend of mine who goes here made these. He didn't want me to brag on him, but I'm so thankful he made these beautiful handmade walnut wood things that he drilled each hole to house the elements here for us to partake of. Would you mind standing with me? You're ready to go anyway. Jesus said that we have fellowship with the Father. Paul talked about our fellowship with the Holy Spirit as well. So we can have fellowship with Jesus, we can have fellowship with the Father, we can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And it's because of what Jesus has done and what he has said and then what he sent by sending the Spirit when he got to heaven. Go, live in them. The world can't have him, but we can. He's on the inside of you. As we receive today these elements, it's gluten-free bread, by the way. Eat of Jesus, drink of him. Remember, he said, as often as you do it, remember me. And then remember that part of why he came was to send the Holy Spirit to live on the inside. Start a relationship with the Holy Spirit even today. Reignite a relationship with the Holy Spirit if it's been a while since you've been communicating with him. And let's just have some moments personally with him. Take as long as you want to do that. Feel free to go ahead and go to the closest place and go ahead and get your elements. I'll say a few more words here. We have some in the back, on the sides. I guess not on the side, in the back, in the front. We also have some ministry teams that will be available here shortly. They'll be up here in the front. And I encourage you, if you've come here today and you don't know Jesus, you haven't experienced fellowship with the Father, maybe you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've not been immersed in him where you shine on the inside, I encourage you to go and get ministry from these folks. Sometimes it takes the laying on of hands where the Holy Spirit comes alive inside of someone. So don't pass this day by. This is a day of change for you for the rest of your life. For many of us today, healed, set free, refilled. Let me pray and you can just spend some time with the Lord personally. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to the earth, and thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit to the earth. Thank you for all that you've done for us, for washing us clean. And to any degree that we have sinned or have sinned, anything that we've thought that is contrary, we acknowledge our sin even right now. We acknowledge our missing the mark in life, in the days behind us. We give it to you and we turn toward you right now. We turn toward your face and ask that you'd forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we receive right now your blood that washes and cleanses and makes us brand new as white as snow. And we also receive the Spirit sent from heaven to fill us all the way. And we begin anew a relationship with you. In Jesus' name. Feel free to take your time. And then for those who would like prayer, we'll have teams up here in just a moment. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.